Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.
The Grand National Festival, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And joining me in the studio to preview it, top tipster, call him that now, Tony Scott from the Liverpool Echo. Morning to you, Tony.
Morning, Steve.
Right, here's your weather outlook for Thursday and Friday. Unsettled with heavy showers. They could ease later in the day. Temperatures are all right, 10 Celsius. That's Thursday. Friday, unsettled with cloudy skies and outbreaks of rain. Are you going to change your clothes now?
Yeah. I think the weather forecast are sitting on the fence there. A bit of a mixture of everything. I haven't changed my clothes.
A mixture of everything. You would have been looking at it from a horse racing perspective, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And just in terms of the ground. Everything that's got to offer. What's happening in terms of the ground and how does it affect things?
The ground is, obviously, we were looking at it. For me, it looks absolutely perfect. I went past the race course yesterday and it looks in immaculate condition. Perfect conditions for racing. We've had scattered showers over the past two or three days, which is absolutely perfect for the ground. There's no need to water it. And hopefully we'll get the sun and it'll brighten up everyone's 3 days.
Look at your positivity there. Hopefully we'll get a bit of sun. It was lovely last year, I seem to remember.
Glorious.
It was a cracking few days.
I think the longer they leave, normally you get the Grand National meeting and it's normally the first week in April. But I think it's the second week in April this year. So obviously you're getting towards the summertime, which makes it even better. So yeah, hopefully the longer in April, the better you get.
I didn't notice that. It's a different weekend, is it?
Yeah, it's normally round. I think it must be me personally, but I think it's normally round about the semi-final weekend, isn't it? But obviously the semi-final is about 2 or 3 weeks later.
You've seen the clash. Yeah. Where does your love of the Grand National go back to? When did you first sort of fall in love with it?
It must have been about... Well, as soon as you could have a bet, really, Steve, as soon as you turned 17, 18.
12.
When I was sneaking in bookmakers, when asking people to put bets on for me. But I think for me, personally, it was just like, it's an institution with people in especially in this country now, is that you'd always remember the times when you're watching the Grand National with your grandparents, your aunties, your uncles, your family. And I think when everyone's watching this great race on Saturday, the memories will come flooding back for when they used to watch it as a child or growing up and who they watched it with. And you're thinking, wow, was that 20 years ago? Was that 15 years ago, and all the memories start flooding back for the great days and the great memories.
I wonder whether, because obviously I remember going as, I think I was 8 years old, stuck with me, you know, as long as I can remember. I remember being so small, I couldn't really see over the top of anyone. You know, when you're young and you're in such big crowds, it's rather sort of overawing, isn't it? You feel sort of... But the atmosphere and everything around it meant that it was just one of those great occasions. That was when I first sort of got involved in it and thought, wow, this is amazing. I'm no good on sort of tips and what have you. Just loved the actual idea of the festival itself, and seeing how it's grown has been brilliant. I wonder whether people outside of Merseyside appreciate it in the same way that we do.
It's an interesting point, Steve. I think that Liverpool, certainly as a city, embraces what they're hosting here as a massive worldwide event that's going to be watched by more than 600 million people worldwide. And interestingly, this year it's going to be on a 5:15 slot when the race starts, which is just to enhance viewing figures for Channel 4, really. It's basically like saying, why is the FA Cup a 5 o'clock kickoff, or why is it 7 o'clock Champions League games? It's just to enhance viewing figures. But Liverpool as a city embraces it more than any other that I could think of. And people tend to forget, but back in the 80s and early 90s, that the Grand National was on its backside, really. They were struggling for sponsorship. Yeah. The attendances were low. And obviously, I know it through dark clouds and everything else, is that when the bomb scare happens, that Liverpool City just took hold of the Grand National and took it by the scruff of the neck, and it's looked after it forevermore, really, as far as I'm concerned. When they looked after all those people that were abandoned from the race course, and forevermore, it's a massive social event now for Liverpool. It's great to see. You'll see the shops will be bursting with trade, the restaurants will be busy, the hotels will be jam-packed, taxi fares, the taxi drivers will be absolutely buzzing with trade, and it's a massive, massive event for the city itself.
Do you remember the first winner when you went?
I thought you meant the first winner of the Grand National was lottery. The first winner when I went, I think it was a horse called Little Polvia.
Hey, that's pretty impressive that you knew the first winner of the Grand National.
Yeah, lottery it's called. The very first winner when I went, I think it was Little Polvia. I think it was 1988, 89, something around that.
Right.
If I'm correct. But yeah, I do remember that quite well. And obviously, when you look at the Grand National itself as a spectacle, it's loads of planning goes into it, and people don't realise that just for 3 days that's it then for the rest of the year. But the Aintree team behind the scenes, we went on a tour last week with Andy Cabot, Phil Smith, and he was there, and he went on a tour around Aintree, and it was absolutely fantastic. You don't realise the background and the absolute work rate that goes into these 3 days. It's tremendous.
What I find staggering is it essentially pays for the whole year. It's that big a thing within the space of three. I know they have other race meetings, but this is the one thing, isn't it, that overrides everything and shows how big it is. 3 days sort of determine the whole year of Aintree.
Yeah, I totally agree. And don't forget, it's that the planning that goes into it from a punter's perspective. The ladies will have been planned this ladies' day since they got the tickets. And probably what's interesting, what I've found lately, is that people get their tickets for Christmas presents. There's your Aintree ticket there, lad, or there's your Aintree ticket there, girl. And they plan. They take the 2 or 3 days off and before the ladies' day. They take the day, obviously, the day after ladies' day. And the plan that goes into it, the makeup artists and everything else, you've got a record. I was speaking to a couple of the officials today, and all stands are basically sold out on Grand National Day. There's a couple of steeple tickets left, and apparently they'll be sold today. So Grand National Day completely sell out from today. Ladies' Day tickets are up on 2,000 ahead from last year, and opening day ticket sales on the Thursday is up on 1,500 ahead, so ticket sales through the roof.
Absolutely brilliant. So is that around 70,000 on Saturday?
Around about 75,000.
Brilliant. Which is,
it just shows you it's getting more and more popular each year. And obviously this Friday as well is the biggest style award prize ever. I believe there's Range Rovers on offer. It's just a massive, enormous event. So, ladies, get your glad rags on.
Well, a fella could win it.
Gentlemen's won it before in the past. He turns up in a nice whistle and flute.
Fancy
and
a bit of that?
Yeah.
Do you make an effort, Toe?
I do make an effort. I'm just normal, casual me, Steve. You know the score. I'll just throw and I'll shoot on. Happy days. I'm there for the racing. I'll leave the ladies to look glam.
Get the BHS jumper on. Right, let's do the novices guide to head into Aintree. Lots of people who will have been there year on year but still treat themselves as novices. Tipping wise, what do you always think of first?
What I look for in a Grand National winner is you've got to look for horses that have been round the course before or are good jumpers or have got that class. I think years gone by is that you'd see basically any old horse could win this. It's more of a handicap. Now you're looking for horses that have been round the course or have run in decent races, maybe at the Cheltenham Festival or the Punchestown Festival. So you're looking for horses basically with good scope, high class horses. And since the fences have come low now this year, in the past previous years, the high quality horses are coming into this. Your Cheltenham Gold Cup winners, your King George winners, your Hennessy winners, they're all targeting the Grand National now because of the prize money. It's basically £1 million.
So if they've won like a Scottish Grand National, or if they've won, you know, something equivalent, a similar sort of race, is that always a good indicator as to whether they can last the distance?
Obviously, you look at horses with stamina, but obviously I'm going to be hypocritical myself. The horse that I fancy this year is Silviaco Conti, which has never gone more than 3.5 miles. And even though the Grand National's 4.5 miles, I'm sort of contradicting myself.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I think Silviaco Conti, for me, I think will win it. It's won 7 Grade 1 races. It's got the class. It's £6 well in on the weights for its last winner at an Ascot. The grounds will be absolutely perfect for him. It's a King George winner. It's a course winner at Aintree as well, so it knows exactly what to do around the course. So that's my tip if you're looking for a horse basically to win. It's not that much of a price. It's around about the 10-1 mark, 12-1 mark. If you're shopping around, come Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, shop around in your local bookmakers. Maybe you'll get 5 places. I know there's some bookmakers will pay you out. It's not a first 4. You may get first 5 if you shop around. But horses that are top of the market at the moment are Many Clouds. Obviously, it won it last year, won a really good race last year.
Is that realistic?
Obviously, that's what you've got to look for. It's been on the clock before. Do you know what I mean? It's like buying a footballer. You buy a footballer because they've won the Champions League medal. That's basically it. They know how to do it. If anyone buys a player now, they're all going to be buying Leicester players next season, aren't they? Because they've been around the course, they've got course and distance. And that's basically what you're looking for. Many Clouds.
Wes Morgan doesn't get added an extra £20 in weight, does he, for his next season?
He may do. Basically, you're looking for Many Clouds is top of the market. That's 8-1, 9-1 if you shop around. It's going to be back-to-back winners since Red Rum in 1977. It was an excellent win at Kelso last time out. The trainer, Oliver Sherwood, says he's in top form. He's only £1 higher than last year, basically because he can't go any higher because it's top weight. So they can't put any more weight on it. So it's got a hell of a chance. Leighton Aspel's on it. He's won two previous years on Many Clouds and Pino de Rey. So he could become the first jockey to win it three successive years on the spin, which will be a fairy tale in itself. And obviously the horse Many Clouds, the first winner since Redrum to win it back-to-back. That'll be a fairy tale story.
Our commentator Paul Jacobs was on yesterday. He's doing an event tonight and sitting next to Leighton Aspel. And he said he was going to tell him that your horse is not going to be in the top five. He said, I am absolutely adamant that you will not have a horse in the top five this year.
I wouldn't like to bet against
that. I was a bit brave, wasn't it?
It's very brave. He was at the media lunch last week with us, and he was basically, he said he wouldn't swap his ride for anything else in the race. He's got basically last year's Grand National winner just carrying £1 extra. And he wouldn't be on anything else.
Do you think the Grand National needs, because let's face it, you say Grand National, people say Redrum.
Yeah.
Does the Grand National need a repeat winner again?
I suppose from an outside perspective looking in, yeah. It's great for the sport. It's great for the spectacle. And you want that fairy tale. Every sport wants that fairy tale story, like Leicester City in the Premier League this season. Yeah, possibly. If you want your heart to rule your heads, you'd love to see Many Clouds do it. It'd be great for the sport. It'd be great for Leighton Aspel to be a jockey. To win it three times on the spin is unbelievable. I think it was a great story a couple of years ago when... Don't Push It, one under Tony McCoy, 15 years of trying to win the great race and finally won it. It was great to see. It was emotional after the race. But even 3 years ago, we seen the first grey horse, Neptune Cologne, win it for the first time in Nicholas Sullivan, 1967. So you can go on and on. There'll be a definitely fairy story that'll come out of Saturday's race, that's guaranteed.
Do you know the last 10 winners?
I used to joke briefly.
I think you've got a bit of an encyclopedic knowledge of this. I'm just looking at some of the stuff you're saying. I bet you can, can't you?
Not really. I could, believe it or not, I could name you every Grand National winner up until I got to like 2005. And over the last 10 years, my mind just went blank. Just went blank. I think, was that 2007? Was that 2008? I know it is. It's definitely catching up with me. But seriously, if you're looking for outsiders out there, obviously we all want that outsider to win because over the last previous 3 years, we've had a 25-1 winner, Many Clouds last year, a 25-1 year before, Pino de Rey, a 66-1 the year before, Aurora's Encore. So if you're looking for an outside bet, listen, you look no further than you're looking for outsiders. Gallant Oscar to the Irish Raider, the team over there, they're bringing that over. They really fancy that this year. Rocky Creek was a strong favourite last year. Didn't perform that well, but Connections are really, really positive about that. St. R was second last year. That's £4 well in on the handicap. And that's got a featherweight this year, so that's got an excellent chance. So as an outsider, I'll be looking at Gallant Oscar, Rocky Creek and St. R. You can shop around. You can get about the 20-1 shop for that.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.